It's Katie. This is Classically Black Podcast,
where we talk all things classical music and being black in the profession.
With trap beats playing in the background, Guten Nacht. My drummer getting kind of good, low key.
I mean,
yeah.
Go off.
Right.
Period. I don't know how to say that in German. I've been saying, I just wish I could get serious about learning the language, but I'm just like, all of those words, all that, it's crazy.
French wasn't decisively not on my list this year, at the beginning of the year, but like, I miss her. So she might make a comeback when my schedule bounces out.
Just like, why it gotta be so hard? I wish I was one of those people that just like, was good at it.
Yeah. But I also wanna learn Portuguese because it's so sexy.
I feel like the language that would be most useful and most accessible for me to learn, which is Spanish, is kind of just like, I don't have a real, like, those are my reasons for that. Those would be my reasons to learn Spanish. Not because I really, really want to, but because it would be useful to me and it's accessible. I have several friends that speak Spanish who I can talk to Spanish speakers whatever, you know, which is not true for a lot of other languages. So I'm just like, but also like, I kind of want me a little German moment, you know.
I mean,
and they say German is like easy for English speakers. I'm like, I don't know what y'all, I want to talk to some black people.
I don't get that.
I want to talk to some black people because I found that all of the consonants and like some of the enunciations that you need to, how you need to enunciate certain things in German, very difficult as somebody with a black accent. So I'm very interested in to know if other black people have felt that, because they say the whole word. And to be fair, in English you say it, sometimes you do too, but it's the colloquial part of it, I guess, that I say because I speak English. Like, now my mouth is like, oh, I gotta do the C and the H and the T when I'm speaking German.
Girl, I ain't doing all that. I rarely finish a word.
That's the thing. You gotta finish the whole thing.
That's how French is too. But I'm also wondering, is French like that because I'm learning it?
French.
Or is French?
My head swim.
I love me a little.
I was about to say.
French is lit, low key. And I couldn't even, and you know what, I will never forget, I couldn't even practice my little French because I was in the Uber with you and freaking Amari, and dude was speaking, y'all are so you know, black people, like, I forgot the dude was speaking French, so, could speak French, so, you know, I'm trying to have my little conversation, I'm doing like, tu parles français, and he's like, da da da, and these two freaking Frank, I was like, you know what, forget it, let's just drive in silence, because they just interrupting with sounds, let's just drive in silence,
because I mean, first of all, y'all having a whole conversation in another language in front of our faces, we can't join in. That's all we knew how to say, bonjour. What's another
one? That was insane.
Noir. Hey, black.
Hold on, now that kind of eat.
What else? That's all I was about to say. Auf Wiedersehen. That is German.
Okay.
I don't know. French is just one of those that, like, I just don't have any interaction with French. And yeah, I just never did. So, like, a lot of things about even the pronunciation of stuff in French is not intuitive to me. Like, I can infer how to pronounce something in German or in Spanish, like, whatever. I just don't know enough about, like, the rules of pronunciation in French. And then when I hear people speaking in French, sometimes I'll just be like, because I don't know. I don't know. I don't hear it as one of those like love languages. I don't hear it.
I just feel like that's propaganda.
You said what?
Now, Spanish is sexy. I can see that. And Portuguese. German's not a love language, right? No way.
No. Okay. I would be really. German is not soothing.
I feel like German one of them languages you got to tell somebody to watch their tone.
Yeah,
you gotta be like, who are you talking to?
It's hard, like
you knocked over there. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying.
It why just you feels yelling? So like abrasive.
Like, whoa, calm down. Ask where the bakery was. Yeah. Everybody, calm down.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think also with Spanish, it depends on from where. I feel like I'm trying to think of a language that I find like, ooh, there's accents.
Accents, like a British accent.
No, not that one. But
no, not that one. I like
British. Whoa, no. On a black man, yes, actually. No, I thought about it.
Yes.
No, because I immediately was like, no, and then I just remembered I was literally just talking to a black man with a British accent, and I was not focused.
Oh.
I already told you this.
You did?
Remember? You remember that?
Uh-huh. Nothing can ever go our way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. It was a long story short, it was a waste of time. But I mean, it was never nothing like that, but still it was it didn't even get to that point.
Something's kinda, if it's in the wake, it won't.
I was just like, yeah. But I saw,
man, you really stopped talking to me after that.
Right. Because I was just like, what do you want?
Right.
It went from hey to what do you want?
To, like, talk to somebody else. Get in my face.
Yeah, so I reeled it back in. A British accent can be, and you know what? One that's really, I've never seen it. Overall, they have to be on the right person, but one that I've found kind of mesmerizing on a particular person is Russian.
Really?
Yeah, that's surprising.
You okay, sister?
I'm great. Okay. I'm great, but I think I also think
it's, I haven't spoken to a Russian person in a minute, actually. So,
yeah, this is a tennis player. I also just find his personality very charming. So, I think also. So then I feel like at that point it's just like whatever you say is cute. Don't really matter what accent you got. But I feel like Spanish, it also depends on like Spanish accent from where. From Spain?
Mm-mm. I mean, I was never saying Spain.
Yeah.
I meant like Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Colombia. Yeah. Yeah. Period. Heavy on Colombia.
Oh, for real?
Period.
I know somebody from Colombia.
Who?
Want me to?
We're offline.
Oh, you know what? You're not interested. I've actually told you about this person before.
Who?
You're not interested. But I told you about this person in relation to a conversation about race.
Oh,
yeah,
girl. I was going to say something very inappropriate, actually.
Yeah, so never mind.
Oh, girl. I forgot he was Colombian.
Yeah.
Does his government know about that?
Okay.
Ugh. Disgrace.
Well, this has been a riveting intro back into the show.
Just a mere 10 minutes after I said we should make this brief.
Right.
And proceeds not to make it brief.
No, but there's still time. We could.
There's still time.
I do want to move something to next week, so for the news, so it's fine. Okay, we have another update from the New York Phil situation. This is what, our third one? We've been talking about this for a minute now. If you have not heard, either here or anywhere else, there was a situation some years ago, the New York Phil, a sexual assault that allegedly happened there involving their associate principal trumpeter, Matthew Mucky, and their principal oboist, Liang Wong. Who are accused of participating in it. There's an article that came out in Vulture, got really big. Everyone's talking about it. Last we heard, these two individuals were placed on leave. They would no longer be in rehearsals or concerts for the New York Phil. So the development from that is that both Matthew Mucky and Liang Wong have filed separate lawsuits against against the New York Philharmonic and Local 802, which is their union under the American Federation of Musicians. Yeah, these are separate lawsuits in federal district court in Manhattan. In their lawsuits, they claim that the Philharmonic had removed them without cause and in violation of an arbitrator's ruling, which had ordered the orchestra to reinstate them in 2020 after an earlier attempt to fire them. So, yeah, a little context around that. In 2018, this was, by the way, years after the alleged assault, when the Me Too movement started kicking up, this whole thing came to light. These two men were fired, but then they went through their union to get an arbitrator, and they were reinstated. They were forced, New York Philharmonic was forced to reinstate them in 2020 after being fired in 2018. So now New York Phil is opening another investigation, and that's why they've been removed. And so that's what led to this lawsuit. Apparently, New York Phil, I mean, as predicted, did not want to comment on this. They said that they can't comment on active litigation. Local 802 said similarly that they would not comment on it. Since then, I mean, since the initial incident and the firing of them the first time, both the New York Philharmonic and Local 802 are under, and the American Federation of Musicians are under new management. I think I said in a couple episodes ago that it seems like the new management of the union is a little more sympathetic to this cause than the older management was. What the new president of Local 802, and she's the president and the executive director, Sarah Cutler. She said that the decision to take both of these men off stage are good first steps, but they can't be the last. And she also said that she was horrified by the accusations as a woman, a musician, and a new union president.
Period.
So it seems like, you know, and here's a little background also about like why they named the union, because like I said, last time they was fired, well, not last time, the only time they were fired, because they're not fired right now. But when they were fired, the union is the only reason why they got their jobs back. But in their lawsuit, I'll separate them because they are separate lawsuits. Mucky, who was the trumpeter, he said that the Philharmonic backtracked on their agreement that they reached last time, and that the orchestra had, quote, violated an indisputably final and binding award, which has determined Mr. Mucky could not be removed based upon such allegations, and specifically ordered his reinstatement with back pay and seniority. And that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, or last week, about that back pay. That's why they got so much money.
Right.
And then Liang Wong, in his lawsuit, he accused the Philharmonic of suspending him, quote, without cause or explanation, and in a clear violation of the terms of his employment, which expressly require that he be given opportunities to perform and excel as a musician. His suit also claims that a lawyer for the New York Philharmonic said back in 2019 that the ensemble had not accused him of any misconduct related to the incident that happened years ago that was written about in the article. Both of them said in their lawsuits that the union, despite having fought for them to be reinstated back in 2018, had failed to respond to the request for assistance in contesting their new suspensions. So there go that new management. They was like, I don't know what happened last time, but y'all are on your own this time. And that's how the union got wrapped up in the lawsuit as well. Because they was like, we gonna try to be on the right side of history this time. So
they getting packed up, allegedly.
Yeah. The way that came so quick. It says that in Liang Wong's suit, he claimed that the new union president had made duplicitous and injurious statements about him, and then or about the situation rather. And in Matthew Mucky's suit, he said the local 802 had, quote, failed and refused to perform its duty of fair representation. So they're both seeking unspecified an unspecified amount of damages, and they're saying that the decision of the New York Philharmonic to suspend them had harmed their careers. Apparently,
no,
that's the thing with people like this.
Like, no,
it's always the consequence that harms your career and not the action.
What? Maybe you shouldn't. Okay, that's insane. That's insane.
And apparently, what they're saying to back that up, Mucky lost engagements with the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center and other ensembles, and Wong was placed on leave from the Manhattan School of Music, where he teaches, which we talked about, and apparently he also lost work with the Taipei Music Academy and Festival.
Dang, not the Pacquiao up too.
Not Mr. Worldwide. and other ensembles.
Girl, they found out?
That's crazy. Global news?
Global news?
Dang, sucks to suck.
You down bad.
What to tell you?
Yeah, well, you having a day you deserve.
So. Speaking of days people deserve. Oh my goodness. There was a whole thing that came out over the weekend. Or not even over the weekend. A couple days ago.
Wait, real quick. They're not suing Manhattan School of Music?
Not to my knowledge.
That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
You only got some more for New York Field? They packed you up down the street too. Very interesting.
I also wonder,
let's settle out of court before you get embarrassed.
You know, actually it makes sense that they filed their suits separately, actually, because even in the initial story, it seems like one of them was accused of way more than the other. And so he probably like, I'm trying to
get myself back.
Yeah, distance myself from what you got going on. So good luck.
He gonna be like, I told you not. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to get myself back.
Yeah. So
what you gonna do? You gonna have to go teach in? Oh, Germany will take you.
Real bad.
Italy too.
Right, that might put you on top of the list.
Right.
They love somebody right. did
like
something
a,
wrong.
It's like a pre-wet wreck.
They don't care about nothing over there.
They don't care about nothing. They only care about talent.
That's it. No matter what you did.
You better go learn a tune to 443 and go across the sea.
You pick a job, you want network and shit, you can go shoot that person point blank in the thing. And as long as you pass the audition, you can go sitting right in that chair.
Right.
They don't care what you did, as long as you can play.
As long as you can play. Girl, don't worry, Sting. You still got a future. Better go learn you some German trumpet. If it's different, you know the girls love a good change of technique. That's what you should be doing. You need to be in that practice room.
Because that's what... Yeah, I don't know what they got going on over there. Truthfully.
What they got going on. Literally just vibes.
Speaking of what people got going on over here, there was a story that came out on Facebook, and there still hasn't been any official coverage of it. Maybe people are working on a story. There was a woman that came out on with a Facebook status, a lengthy Facebook status, about the euphonium player Demondre Thurman, who at the time of this posting was, that's crazy past tense already, the associate dean, professor of euphonium, and head of the brass department at Indiana University, and was previously the head of graduate music studies at Samford University and the head of the brass department at U Alabama. And basically detailing an experience in which she was allegedly groomed and sexually assaulted by this man as a young 18-year-old euphonium student who was trying to, you know, make it in classical music. I will link the status so that you guys can read it for yourselves. It has details of sexual assault, just so that you know that before you read it. And I just want to acknowledge this and bring it up because Demondre was once a Black Excellence on this show. I don't know, maybe 2 years ago. It's been a minute.
Oh, sure. Has it been that recent?
Two, maybe three. I don't know. I know it was definitely years ago. Because I can't really remember how long ago it was. But I remember because it's crazy because when our friend had texted us about this, did you guys see this? And, you know, I think both of us at this point, you know, there's always people that we don't know, but like have a filing cabinet up here. And so I was immediately able to place him when they said, did y'all hear this thing about Demondre Thurman? And I was like, oh, because you know what? He was a guest artist when I was at EMF.
Not no more.
I mean, yeah, so he was there when I was at EMF. He actually might not even be, I think he was on faculty. He might not even have even been a guest artist. I think he was on faculty at EMF the summer that I played there. Yeah, and I remember being like, okay, Black man. And now, and you know how we joked the other week about having a Black disappointment segment? And now here we go. We should do a segment that's on the flip side of Black excellence. One of our Black excellence does something crazy. And now we got to do a Black disappointment segment. Because I just don't understand what y'all got going on. Why would you, you know, you can't make sense out of nonsense. You can't make sense out of nonsense. I would never understand something like this. That you are, and by the way, we was just talking about, you got a wife at home. You got
He's married is insane.
Like, you not even regular cheating. You cheating on your wife and sexually assaulting people on top of that? Like, I don't even know what to say. I'm disgusted that we even spoke your name on this here podcast in a positive way, because like I just feel like we be trying to uplift people, and the fact that you out here just making people uncomfortable because by the way, when after she posted this, people was in the comments like, oh yeah girl, I had the same experience, or I had a similar experience with him. And then there was other people who did not have that personal experience who was like, oh, that sounds just like him. I'm like, what? That's to hear something like this, to read it, because I read the whole thing, top to bottom. And to hear somebody say, oh, that sounds just like him. This is crazy, because I don't even know if there's anybody that I know that I would hear something like this and be like, oh, yeah, that sounds like so-and-so.
Like you, man. That is a crazy thing to say. That sound like him.
That's what? Like, this is crazy. This is the reputation that you're leaving for yourself. This is the life that you're leading.
I've been saying for weeks, I was like, there's certain, you could tell, like, people who like reach a certain level in classical music, like, you haven't been cussed out in a long time or at all. Because what about you playing euphonium makes you think there's no perspective in classical music? People be doctors. What about playing the euphonium thinks you gives you the right to violate someone in that manner? Like, and not saying that doctors should be able to do it. I want to clarify that. I mean, I thought it was obvious, but you know, it's there. But it's just like people coming to you to learn and get better and to play an instrument that honestly, you play euphonium. That's kind of crazy. And you're assaulting people. What is? Okay, that is so disgusting.
And as an educator too,
because
you know what I was just what this made me think about, and it was crazy because it just was also kicked up by something I was just watching. I was trying to get into that whole, like, I had watched that American Crime Story series, and like each season is a different one. I watched it because they have one on the OJ Simpson case. But they have another one that was on the Monica Lewinsky scandal in the White House. So I just started trying to watch that. And there was another woman who had accused Bill Clinton of sexual assault, you know, before. And there was a scene where there was a press conference and people was asking her like, oh, well, the assault had occurred in a hotel room. And they was like, oh, if he was there for work, why was he in his hotel room and blah, 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 and all that type of stuff. And if you read this account, the assault that this woman is recounting with DeMondre Thurman allegedly happened in a hotel room as well while he was visiting a school. And it made me think, reading this story made me think about like how much trust that we put in people, whether that be your boss, your superior, like in the show that I was watching, or your teacher or something like that, and how vulnerable we are in these positions, and how much we trust that other person to just like be fucking normal, like, yeah, you know, because, yeah, like you can't even say, like, I wouldn't think twice. I've taken lessons at my teacher's house before. I wouldn't think twice if we were somewhere. People go on work retreats, stuff happens in hotels all the time. Like, so to say, like, when people read stuff like this and like they think, you know, hindsight is 20/20. Oh, well, why was you there? You should be able to go anywhere with this person.
Yeah,
this is an educator. Like, people literally give lessons out of their house, you know. So to say, oh, you was alone and you was this and you was that, like, y'all can actually save it.
Perspective teacher, like, you ain't never like been alone with a like. I think about perspective teachers who's giving me rides in their car, like I'm all in your house, like, I'm trying to get into your school. What we doing? Oh, I only got 30 minutes. Come to my house. That's normal.
Like, it's completely normal. So, like, I think before we even hear people trying to say that, because inevitably they will, like, let's put that into perspective, because I feel like people always want to take the route of blaming somebody for the situation who was the victim in the situation. And, like, and it sucks to be, I mean, it would suck, of course, when it happened, if it would happen at any point in your life, but to be in this formative time where you literally just want to make it, you just want to learn as much as you can, you idolize somebody, you know, they're doing everything in their career that you want to do in yours, and they take that and they use it against you to violate you.
And then also, like, even if there was a moment in which, like, she was like, oh, this is going south, her whole thing now is, I'm just trying to get home. Like it just it changes so quickly, and there's just like not a lot of empathy for that. Like, mm-hmm, I'm in the situation, I'm just trying to get into my little school, so I play my little euphonia, and now it's like, okay, I'm just trying to get home. Mm-hmm. What do I have to do to get home?
Exactly.
No, it's, that's terrifying.
That's actually crazy because, yeah, like, people, I just feel like people just do not understand in that situation. Like, not only you're thinking about, like, on one hand, you're thinking about your future, you're thinking about the power that this person has over your dreams, your mm-hmm literal dreams. We talked about this in the New York Field situation, because in that situation, she got a dream job, a job that so many people that want is so bad will never get to touch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely ruined by somebody else and their need to just, I don't even know, be evil. And so in this situation, you're idolizing somebody, you just want to be able to fulfill your dreams. And then, yes, on the other hand, you're also just thinking about, how am I going to get out of this situation? Because you don't know you don't know what somebody's capable of.
Right.
You know?
Was she a, like, man?
You little old you in there. This person has this person has power over you in literally every way.
In physically, every way.
Like, professionally, like, emotionally, because you're afraid. You are not in control in this situation in any way, shape, or form. Like, and so I just it really put that into perspective for me, like, of how much I'm just very, like, appreciative of people who actually take their positions as an educator seriously, mm-hmm, and actually care about their students and the work that they do, because I have haven't had to think twice about that with my male teachers, especially as a bass player. Like, I have only had male teachers. And like, to have some, to like know that you are in a male, you play a male dominated instrument, and you know that the young women that you run into are already in a vulnerable space, even amongst their peers. Mm-hmm. They're isolated, and then you take the steps to isolate them further. That's just really crazy to me.
So I don't know if you've been privy to the conversation on TikTok. There's like a hypothetical going around where like they were asked, I don't even know where it started, but like basically someone asked a woman like, would you rather be in the woods with a man or a bear? And all the TikTok is on is ass right now, because women were like literally a bear. And especially this one dude they packed up. I'm kind of sad about him, because I like not wilding. They were like, it makes me sad that women would say this, because like, I'm a nice guy and I would never, because basically what women are saying is that like, if I'm in the woods with a random bear, I know that bear is only going to act on instinct. He's either going to leave me alone, or he's going to maul my face off and call it a day. If you stuck in the woods with a man, the chances of him... See? Sorry. Okay, also, just to clarify, you didn't even flinch when I said maul your face off. A bear taking its claws and mauling your face off. You didn't flinch. I said you're in the woods alone with a man. Because, first of all, if you're in the woods alone with a man...
Oh, my gosh.
Like, he could have followed you in there. He has some type of malintent. He's not just hanging out. And also, if he gets his hands on you, he could do something to you multiple times. He could torture you. Like, killing is not the worst thing. Like, at least it would happen right away if a bear did it.
Yeah,
you like, know what a man is capable of.
And that's the thing I wish y'all would understand, because you talk about, oh, I'm a nice guy. Women do not walk away with don't walk around with X-ray goggles and be like, oh, yeah, you're a nice guy. You need to understand, we don't know you.
Right.
You know what? We just don't know. And like, is that a chance that people are really willing to take? Like,
right.
So I'm just in the woods. We know we're here by ourselves. Absolutely. Bear me, please.
But exactly. It's like, you women gotta be serious. No, I'm being absolutely serious, because I could just like, because a lot of times bears will leave you alone. I mean, I haven't studied bears, but like, I heard they just leave you alone unless like you endangering their cubs, or they perceive you as a threat. A man, especially like, you don't know why he in there, he just wandered around. That is terrifying to me. I would much rather see a bear.
You just do not know. You just don't. That's the thing. Like, and it's just so many situations like that girl who got in the wrong Uber, for example. Like,
see,
and it ended up now she got stabbed so many times. It was just an opportunity thing. Like, you just don't know like what's about to go on. You don't know what like.
Mm-mm-mm. And that's why they said, I can't say it, I'm gonna tell you after, about that case of them four men that was in the woods with the and what they did to that freaking I forgot what kind of animal it was. You could fill in the blanks. All four of them did it to the animal and not killing it. I'm gonna find it. Insanity.
So the bear in danger. Help the bear. Remember that video?
Right. Save the bear.
Yeah, yeah. If you ever see me fighting in the forest with a grizzly bear, help the bear. I forgot what rapper that was.
Oh my, men are terrifying. That's why when you ask women like, if men were rid from the planet for one day or ever, what would be the first thing you do? And like, all of them say like, take a jog at night,
like walk around with headphones on.
Oh my god, it's so terrifying out here. Oh,
like I just feel like I feel like people who are living in the realm of, oh, I'm a nice guy, so and so's a nice guy, all this type of stuff, like, I don't know, you just have to understand, like, it's women telling dudes, no, you can't have my number, and not going home after that. That, yeah, girl,
I just take the number.
Like that girl who, she beat a guy in a pickup basketball game at the park, and he shot her and killed her, murdered her, because she beat him in basketball. Like, you just, like, hello? Is that not insane?
And I feel like, oh, what?
Nothing.
I also feel like, I think what makes classical music always feels like a safe space. So it's like, imagine, like, you know all this going on the outside. Like, you can't, if you see a man walking down the street, I cross the street. I mean, I'm really, rarely walking. But, like, that sounded crazy. where am I walking in 100% humidity when I got a car and I got to pay a note on every month? Where am I walking to? Where? Come pay the note, I'll walk around the block. Until then, I walk from my car to rehearsal and back. But what was I finna say? I'll be watching my back. Like, rehearsal be over at 10. I gotta come into my I'll be watching my back, dark street. You know, a couple people in the orchestra told me they got held at gunpoint. Like, but like, you, all this stuff going on outside, and you what's it called it? You in classical music, you trying to take your little euphonium lesson. I'll be like, this gotta be a prank. Like, I would just be so, I'm gonna, it, here? I don't know. There's something about that, it's just so, what? And I understand it happens constantly, but also, like, I've only had very few male teachers. Where was they at? Oh, I guess, yeah, he was a man. I'll be thinking about that.
You guess?
I can't say what I want to say because that's crazy. This is the internet. But yes, he was a man, but also my conducting teacher, but Dr. Block. I've been like, I just would never think twice. I've been like, I took conducting lessons from that man. I've been at dinner with him. I've been at his house. Like, you just never think twice. I would never. And I'm just so grateful that that's my experience, because it seems like it's just not a common one.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, like, Dr. Block's really the only, I can't say that. That's not true.
Yeah, Mr. Taylor.
What do I want to say? Huh?
Say Mr. Taylor.
Oh, Mr. Taylor. See, didn't even cross my mind. Didn't even cross my mind.
Because you just
mind.
Felt so safe. Wouldn't even know. Like,
didn't even cross my mind. That is a man. That's the homie. We chilling. He roasted me. I pack up. He teaches the next student. Like,
it could all be so simple.
Oh my God, that is such a luxury. That is such a luxury.
Like, why are you coming to work?
You coming to work. You touching on people.
Are you coming
weird
to work all wound up like that? What are you talking about?
Wound up? It's not crazy.
That was way less crazy than what I was finna say.
No, okay.
Way less.
That's fair. Okay.
Okay. As if you knew what I was finna say.
That's fine.
Like, what are you doing? we playing.
You gonna say.
Yeah. We supposed to be playing scales. You rubbing on my back for what? Like, it just seems so ridiculous.
It's got chills.
Like, that's just disgusting. Like, it's just disgusting. And I remember reading about this girl who I think it was her landlord or like the maintenance man let himself into her apartment and stuff. That's another situation where there's somebody who has some sort of power over you, and you just trust that they are going to be normal about it. Because they ought to. And it's just like puts you in a terrifying position.
Didn't something just go south a couple years ago with that?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That man's dude had killed her, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying. Someone who lives in a place who doesn't have a maintenance person, like, it terrifies me to, like,
see? Give a bear the key to your apartment, see what happens.
First of all, you just walk through the front door, just barge through.
Or just be outside minding his business.
Right.
I just, well, the reason why I was speaking in past tense is because they packed him right on up. So people was emailing the dean of the Jacobs School of Music at IU. The dean, here's a email that was going around. It says, to the Jacobs School of Music community, it has come to my attention that allegations were made yesterday against Professor Demondre Thurman on social media. In accordance with policy, the university has addressed these concerns immediately. Currently, Dr. Thurman is not serving as Executive Associate Dean, Chair of Brass, or in any instructional position. So packed him right on up. Also wonder what his students are doing.
I wonder if he, that's how you know he,
well, the, did it. The female ones probably jump for joy.
Right. Like, thank God. But also, like, anybody, he not going to come back with a defamation suit?
I don't know.
Is Indiana an at-will state? But he has tenure, so it wouldn't even matter. You see what I'm trying to say? Like, you did that stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't know. Some people are saying he's on leave. I don't know if, I guess, like, that email didn't give any information about, like, okay, it's an investigation. Is he on leave? Is it unpaid, paid? Like, what's going on? And that's why I keep checking back, because nobody has really written anything. Nobody reputable. I'm sure Slip Disc has something, but not reputable. So, about it, to, like, see, he deactivated his Instagram. I saw that. And so we'll see. We'll keep an eye out, because I don't know what else is going on besides that. And besides, you know, the more and more people that are coming out and saying how much this sounds like him, which is crazy.
That's so crazy. You imagine, like, that's not crazy?
Right.
Like, think of the most egregious thing ever, like, yeah, like, Johnny be eating children, and everybody else is like, yeah, that do sound like Johnny. Yeah, I saw him munching on some fingers. Like, what? Like, wow.
And that's also,
oh, go ahead.
And what was he gonna say?
I said, also, I mean, from some of the stuff I read too, it's like, that's a fair warning. Some of y'all be making women feel uncomfortable. Y'all need to stop that. If you ain't getting no play, talk to a therapist. Look within.
I was going
to be doing rubbing and doing too much.
Doing way too much.
Can't get no play. Look within.
I'm also wondering, like, I just don't even know, like, what about this, like, I mean, I guess people facing consequences for their own actions is a part of what helps the culture around this dissipate, but, like, for so many people to be like, oh yeah that sound like, what's the thing, like, what's going on? Because, like,
oh my God,
he was just acting like this whole time. Some people, like, some of the women who said, oh yeah, I've been in situations, like, whatever, like, I'm not talking about them, but, like, it was even men who was like, oh dang, like, yep. And it's just like, so were none of y'all, I want to hear from some of the people who are in this dude's generation, his peers and whatever. I want to hear, what do y'all think? Does this sound like him to y'all? Have you said anything?
But, you know, men be afraid of other men.
That's the thing. And then it's crazy, because men don't be listening to nothing if it don't come from another man. Well, you, it's prime example, and you see all these rappers that are always, they got beef for female rappers, they got all this to say, but then we'll get in front of another man and be humbled, or actually listen to what he got to say and all that type of stuff. Like, I just, there's so many instances where that I've seen, like, a woman say something and then it's just combative, she's seen as combative and all this type of stuff, and then a man will say it and then it's just like, oh yeah, or like, you come at it with a whole different demeanor. So I really want to hear from people who are in that older generation. I don't know how old he's probably, like, 50, around that age is my guess.
I mean, even a couple months, what's a couple months, actually it doesn't really matter because time means nothing. It could have been a couple months ago, could have been yesterday, could have been a couple years ago. When that lady got hit in the face with a brick, and all the men were standing around.
Oh yeah.
And she was like, she was literally like, so all of you gonna stand around while this man hits me in the face with a brick? And they like, I got family to go home, so I ain't getting involved. Da da da. You men are afraid of men. So what's the point? Like, they stay all sat around. All them brass boys sat around, knew he was touching on girls, allegedly. And was like, oh, dang, that's crazy. and they went about their lessons. And all them festivals he went to, knowing that you are a risk to be around young women. And like, oh, that's Dre, allegedly. Like, yeah, all the men know.
Not the boys will be boys.
Like, all of them knew. I bet you all of them knew. I bet all of his peers knew. That's, you know, like, you know how Dre be.
Like,
you love him a little one, too.
Like, they love that. They love that. Like, show. That's just how he is. Or,
yeah, you know, he be a little touchy. Oh, he's old school.
Oh, my gosh. Especially, like, how they be like, oh, you just... They try to be incremental with it, which, in some cases, I could, if you don't have a course of action, then, like, I guess the best you can do is just warn people about stuff. But, like, at a certain point, to say, oh, it's cool as long as you're just not alone with him, like, that's not enough. That's not enough. Like, because you're teaching lessons and stuff. Like, so that's just not enough.
Also, don't matter, because the girl was saying they were at a restaurant, he under the table with it.
Like, no. So, seek help at that point. You're under the table with it?
Oh, like, my God.
That's insane. That's insane.
And then this whole time, he had a wife at home.
This is insane. You're at a restaurant. You texting people on the side. You under the table. Like, at that point,
it's too much. You gotta castrate this man.
You know, I was just about to, you know, I was about to take it a step further. You know what? Let me just be quiet. Let me just be quiet, because it's just some of y'all. If it's that serious for you, you in a public place, and you just gotta have something. You just against their will, intimidating people, and you just gotta have, like, I have news for you. I have news for you, and I'm not even gonna say it on this here podcast, because some of y'all are pretty far gone.
And what I really hate about terrible people is, like, they will do this and just go about living their lives. That's not crazy to you?
Because people are like, oh yeah, I've known him for years and such and such. I'm like, so Cupid's really just doing this and moving on to the next lady, moving on to the next lady, and moving on to the next lady. Just ruining people's lives. Just ruining people's careers.
That leaving a bunch of crazy
despair in your wake.
What can Fury say about OJ? I believe this one too. Like, he's gonna do well in hell. He's gonna do well. Like when he said that, I was like, Kid Fury, that's not crazy to you? And now I see it. Like, you're going to do well. An elite employee. Oh. Like, you just going around ruining women. You go do your deed, and you go snuggle up to your wife when you get home.
Like, that's not crazy to you? That's not crazy to you.
Wow.
I really want to hear, if y'all know... If y'all are in that demographic that I said I would like to hear from, classicblackpodcast@gmail.com, because I really want to hear what's going on. What's the situation on this?
I gotta figure out who I can get some tea from. See, the problem is my, what's it called, Gen X friends aren't messy.
I mean, I want to know, because, like, I just genuinely want to know, like, the people who are, I really cannot dredge up anybody that I know that I would say, oh, I wouldn't be absolutely shocked and floored if I heard something like this about them. So to hear that there are other people who do not feel that way, who feel like there are people that they know who they would be like, oh, yep. Like, I want to know what's going on. What are they doing that is cluing you into something like that? In what settings? What was your reaction to it? Like, not even to shame you on nothing. I just genuinely want to know. Because, like, I'm not even trying to, like, ooh, what he did. Like, I know enough at this point. Like, I don't even want to hear nothing else. It was horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, ask him what that, I mean, I read it, but, like, when it got, because, come on. Like, how are you...
I'm not even trying to like, yeah, I'm not even on trying to like, it's not even on no,
what's no, yeah, like no messy stuff.
Yeah. Like, I just, because I'm just really trying to think. I mean, of course, if I thought of somebody, I wouldn't name them because, oh, well, there is somebody that we know. Huh? I was about to say, because I was going to try to think about somebody that if I, somebody that I know that I wouldn't be absolutely like floored if I heard something about this. But also there is.
One. Are we on the same page?
Yeah, because.
It would track, actually.
It would actually fall right in line. So never mind, y'all. I know what you mean.
Wait,
but to be fair, I'm not friends with this person any longer.
Oh, we can't say that.
Who's you talking about?
Wait, who were you talking? We're offline.
Because there's no way there's two.
It's not.
Okay, because I'm thinking of the same person who I have no contact with at this point. I have not spoken to this person in years. Because I have nothing to say to you. You know?
Yeah, and if they was reading that, read it again.
So.
That's crazy. Men are insane. The fact that you thought you could get away with that.
And that's the thing. Stuff always comes to light. The truth will always come to light. So you doing all this and for what? Girl, it's giving another news episode.
Oh, girl, look at the time.
Yeah.
We packing it up.
I do have some of the news. That's why I'm saying it's not long. One other thing I did want to bring to everybody's attention. We'll keep you updated on that. And if we find out anything more about his position at IU and what's going on there, because I want to know what's going on with the students that he has right now. And there was another thing that I wanted to know.
Who do I know to go to IU? I forgot.
Them.
I know alumni.
It's just crazy. Yeah. There was one other thing I wanted to know, but I forgot it. But we'll see. Anyway, so that's terrible. But in other news, Castle of Our Skins is looking for their another Shirley Graham Du Bois creative in residence. This is a program that they do to foster community and collaboration among diverse creatives and to strengthen, expand, and challenge Castle of Our Skins in a collaborative and creative environment. So basically, they're looking for creatives of all disciplines, age 20 and above, all genders, ethnicities, national origins, sexual orientations and identities, religions, beliefs, education and physical abilities are encouraged to apply. And it says here that applicants who identify as Black or belonging to the African diaspora are strongly encouraged to apply. And also individuals who reside in the greater Boston area are strongly encouraged to apply, although it does not seem that that is a requirement. They also define creatives as artists of all practices, including but not limited to composers/sound artists, musicians/film/video artists, dancers/choreographers, performance artists, visual artists, writers, spoken word, interdisciplinary artists, etc. So if you were any of those things or none of those things, but you are something else, you might want to apply. This is also a paid opportunity that comes with an honorarium of $1,500 and an additional negotiated artist fee and project support per project completed in conjunction with Castle of Our Skins for their 2024-25 season. And it says here an average range of combined artist/project report provided over a single season falls between $15,000 and $25,000. There's also a bunch of other things here under compensation that I will link in the description along with how to apply and all that sort of thing. And yeah, a landing page where you can learn more about the application process. It's very transparent in terms of what you get and also the just the timeline of the process and how it's chosen and everything like that, which I love that a lot of people are shifting towards that. And it also includes some of the responsibilities of this position, including being a part of the curation process for one or more projects during the next season, and also developing a work or multiple works in conjunction with their upcoming season. And yeah, this is due on May 17th. So if you are interested at all, check the link in the description to learn more. And then last but not least, on our new segment, the Eastman School of Music has announced their new dean. Did you see this? Mm-mm. Do not be, you be paying Eastman dust. I don't even know why I asked.
Girl, you know I answered it. What they talking about?
Katie don't know. You know what? To be fair,
I graduated.
That's crazy.
Okay. Alumna. To be fair, I don't know what ISU or U of M saying.
That's crazy.
Definitely U of M. But I don't know what ISU saying either.
I'm such like, I don't know. I don't know where it came. Like, I'm a school spirit girly. Like, I don't think y'all understand. I have more USC stuff than I do Eastman stuff. That's only because I have more money now than I did when I was an undergraduate. So I don't think y'all understand. Nobody will ever have to question, where did Delaney go to school? Nobody. I won't let you forget
it. Eastman sweatshirt that it say Aceman at this point.
Okay. I need way more Eastman stuff. I don't have very much Eastman stuff at all. Like, hardly any. USC, I got on a USC sweatshirt right now. And I got my other one, and I got my USC tank top. I bought two. I have two or three USC body, like, rompers. I got...
Rompers kind of crazy.
No, because they did a collab with this other place. Romper. They did a collab. Because USC, like, you... Oh, my gosh. They have so much stuff. It's crazy. You can buy USC barbecue seasoning. Ain't that crazy?
I'm still on a romper. Okay, where you wearing that too?
Well, I got a... You know, but yes, I got two. I think I have two. I don't think I bought the white one. I bought the burgundy one and the black one. I have multiple sweat shorts for USC. I got the teddy bear was a gift. I got the mug. That was also not the mug, the tumbler for coffee. That was a gift too. I got my grandma that magnet. What else I got USC? I got it like, do I have a, oh yeah, I said I got a tank top. Oh, I have a hat. Oh, I do have a hat. I never wear my hat and my other sweatshirt. I got so much USC stuff. And honestly, it's nothing close to what it's finna be. Oh, and that necklace. I didn't buy that necklace. I think they sent me some earrings. And I'm like, I feel like this was a mistake because I wouldn't have bought them. But since I have them.
You said what?
I was about to say, I got a Christmas ornament, which I got from my mom. I bought a hat for myself, but she wanted it. So I gave that to her too. Just
matter of fact, I got an Eastman shirt that I used for a grad shoot. I have been looking for that shirt for years. I don't know where it's at. That's it.
Most of my shirts. Yeah. Huh?
No, I was gonna say I got an Eastman sweatshirt and an Eastman degree. I think that's it. I'm looking around.
Yeah, you do got that sweatshirt.
I might got a journal around here that say Meliora.
Oh my gosh, how many USC notebooks do I have? Maybe four or five USC notebooks. Because I bought one. Yes, I have like maybe four or five USC notebooks, and I got the leather, not the padfolio. I got an Eastman padfolio though. But I got the leather, the small journal, the brown one. What else I got? I have USC folders too. Eastman. I think all the shirts that I have at Eastman were free. Like that I got from like an event, my class of 2020 shirt. Like I have some sweatpants from Eastman that I cannot fit anymore. Oh, and I have an Eastman Christmas sweatshirt. And that might be it for Eastman.
I do want some more stuff. When I go, when I roll back to Rochester, I was thinking about Rochester the other day. One of the people in my, in one of the class I'm taking lives in Rochester.
I mean,
forgot about Rochester. I didn't. I love Rochester. I didn't forget about the whole city. I got sorority sisters that live there. Mm. Oh, and Eastman's there. Oh.
You know what? I do have, and I also have a bunch of Eastman folders and notebooks. I have a ton of, I have maybe about 5 Eastman notebooks. I have folders. Also have music from Sibley Steel.
That's cool. Do they know that?
They do, and it's crazy because I thought I returned. I did. I returned the score, and I thought the part was in it. And they were like, "Girl, the part's not here." And I'm like, "I don't know what to tell you. I wouldn't have separated them." And then, lo and behold, I had separated them. I couldn't believe it. So I do. I need to mail that to them. I want to mail it to them, but because I have no intentions on, you know, because I literally went back and I returned it because I checked it out during the pandemic, and then I didn't come back. I never came back. I graduated, and then I came back to bring the flight case, and I thought I brought the music back, and turns out the part wasn't in there. So that's something the Eastmans I have
against their will.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know what to tell you. I live 3,000 miles away, so
come get it.
Like, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, I really don't have a whole lot of Eastman stuff. But when I tell y'all, when I get a bag, and my high school, unfortunately, they changed the branding of my high school. Okay. Okay, no, I went to Loxa. Like, Loxa. We got, it's people that went, you know, like, I feel like there's a good amount of famous people that came out of Loxa. I feel like it's just like one of those, I don't know.
Do your thing, girl.
Even though it was public school, it was like I had to audition to get in Loxa. I feel like it was just like all of the schools I went to, I feel like of course, most people feel this way, were accomplishments. I don't know why. I'm just very into it. And when I tell you, when I get a bag, it's going to make people puke how much stuff I have. Because I'm getting everything. I'm getting everything. So.
Do your thing.
And will. Because when I get that class ring.
Okay, a class ring is crazy. My mom has a class ring, actually.
When they sent me an email talking about, here's your coupon for $500 off your class ring, I said, if y'all giving me $500 cost, how much does it cost?
Right.
$500 off is insane. But I'll let you see my rumpers. Yeah, rumpers are crazy.
Rumpers are crazy.
Rumpers are crazy. But yeah, Eastman has announced that they have a new dean. That's where this all started. Yeah. Her name is Kate Sheeran. She is going to be joining Eastman as the 8th dean beginning July 15th. Jamal said, I'm out.
Oh, I thought Jamal had another year. He said, actually.
Right. He said, actually. Effective immediately.
Effective. Let's wrap it up.
Like, not even no transition.
July 15th, kind of crazy, Jamal. I'm sorry. You he said, it's time to go. Me and my saxophone.
He said, y'all was doing all that. He went through 2020 and said, actually, well, we not finna
right. He said, we gonna wrap 2020. Like,
that had to be brutal, especially as a 60-something-year-old white man.
and the whole, and then that other debacle on top of that with the whole, a nice quote about diversity here on the website. That,
my bad, y'all.
That man has been through it. And the, what's that, what's the other dude who be violating people, allegedly? The violin dude coming, he had to deal with
Joshua
that.
Oh, Joshua Bell.
Man, yeah, y'all put my brother through it.
He y'all shortened his lifespan by a good 15 years. He said, like, my days are numbered.
He's like, I'm going to a beach when I still got the chance. He said, it would have been March 15th, but that would have been tacky. So.
I just saw him last year at that thing, that Eastman thing. That was last year. Yeah, at that event. I'm sure people have put two and two together, but Jamal Rossi is the current dean of Eastman.
I mean, you could look that up. I ain't got no problem for him. I used to think he was black when I saw it. I said, come on, Jamal.
Right. He made sure, you know. He made sure, you know, it's Jamal.
I was like, all right, whoa. Calm down. Sorry.
Make no mistake. This is actually kind of crazy, though. The eighth dean of Eastman in 100-something years. Oh, that reminds me of another thing. I'm crazy. I have, you know, Eastman has a historian. And they, and who wrote 3 books about Eastman. I have all 3.
You read them?
Girl, I flipped through them when I bought them. I might read them. I was just looking at them on my shelf. I might read them just to see. But the thing is, I was there during the centennial weekend, I said. And then I was like, I'm not going to go by the bookstore. But then I went by the bookstore and I was like, I should have known. Me and my sentimental self, I'm mad sentimental. And I love school spirit stuff. And I love history. So when I saw those, I was like, oh, I got to get it. And then it's a trilogy. So I'm like, oh, okay, I got to get all 3 books. So, yeah, I have those too. But 8 deans in over 100 years. But you know what? What's even crazier? My teacher is only the second base teacher Eastman has ever had.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? He's coming up on 50 years. Yeah, in 2026. Dang. It'll be 50 years.
Yeah, the studio doing something?
I'm sure, because I only know that because my freshman year was his 40th. And they did a whole like recital and all his students came back and a party and all that type of stuff. They always do it during Meliora weekend, which is why Meliora weekend 2026. I'm trying to go back because I'm sure they will have something for him.
I want to do an Eastman reunion because I met Dr. Block one weekend. He came.
That's his class 2026.
Reunion. I want to do one, but like black.
We should plan a Meliora weekend 2026.
Yeah, I don't know what it's gonna be, but it's gonna be real black.
Mm-hmm. We could plan a little something. We could, ooh, yeah, we could hook up with the BSU there if they're still running, which I think, you know, they will be because they've been doing good. So, you know, we could a little set something up, a little meet up, and we might even get them to foot the bill.
Yeah, because I'm thinking like rent us a little space, get a little DJ, get a little. Yeah, matter of fact, that's not like my type of carrying on.
Right. Yeah, well, Jay will say he out. He is not coming back. Peace out. Kate Sheeran is, of course, an alumnus of Eastman. She graduated in 2002. Apparently, she is an accomplished educator and an academic administrator, professional musician, and is coming from her position as executive director of the Kauffman Music Center in New York City.
Okay.
Period. It says here from Sarah Mangelsdorf, who's the president of U of R. Says Kate Sheeran brings to Eastman extensive and impressive leadership experience in music education, including uniquely in both higher education and in community music education, which, you know, I was like, yeah, that actually is a good fit for Eastman because ECMS, you know, you got all that going on.
Was old dude still there?
Don't do that. Hey, J-Mo really dipped. But yeah, she's a horn player. She's done a lot of professional work with that. They have here I'm gonna link the press release that U of R put out. She received an undergraduate degree and a certificate in arts leadership and a performer certificate from Eastman. Come on, PC. A
performer certificate.
Okay, I think girl. We talked about this on the
they
PC,
don't just hand them out. Yeah.
They do not just hand those out. Those are hard to get at Eastman. I remember ambitious little Delaney thinking, I'm gonna grow. It's not even worth the trouble.
Mr. Taylor was like, let's focus on something else. I said, you call me a slur.
I mean, listen, you better than me because I wasn't gonna let that leave my lips for fear for fear of the way JB would have looked at me. Saying I want to do a PC jury.
Oh my god, that man was a piece of work. He would talk to me anyhow. I miss him. I just saw him in February. That man would just talk to me. Just say whatever. Whatever came to his lips. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna say that. Wow, I forgot he said that to me. wow.
After Eastman, she went to Yale, got her master's, and she's also served on the boards of Ken Haven Music School and Alarm Will Sound. And she's currently on the board of the Jack Quartet, which is another Eastman alumni-founded ensemble. String quartet. Shout out to her. She said,
y'all not finna push me around.
Congratulations. Would you ever
come back? I was about to ask you that, girl. No.
Not to, okay, so you was gonna ask me, would I ever be dean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's really no way in hell I would ever do something like that. But
like,
would you do a little adjunct?
Adjunct of what? Like adjunct field professor?
Anything you would want to teach at Eastman.
At Eastman? Mm-hmm. I don't think so, because I'm not qualified.
What you mean? Okay, a little artist leadership, a little IML. That's an institute of music leadership.
I would do IML. But I probably nothing else. Cause I even think like music ed, like everybody in the music ed department is just, music teaching and learning. It's just so brilliant. Like everyone over there is just so brilliant.
Okay.
And then viola, be serious.
Okay.
The viol. So, no. Would I be adjunct somebody? I'm like, yeah, I turned out an adjunct position of adjunct viol position because of that whole.
Oh, yeah.
I was not going to do all. I was not going to sign my name to the. Attach myself to an institution like that. But, in general, yes. A dean, no. How much they make? Not enough. You gotta deal with all type of stuff.
All type.
Imagine the day old dude at Indiana had when that came across his desk. It's Tuesday. You got your coffee in your hand. You vibing. Oh, what a great week. We're almost at the end of the semester.
Bam.
Like, no hi, good morning, nothing.
Your email. You wondering why your email looking all hot. You wondering why your keyboard singed you when you log in.
Like, Teams going crazy.
See, and I'm just 4,000
unread messages.
I'm just not tactful enough for a position like that. I'm also not good at apologizing for things that I did not personally do. And so the whole like the communications team would hate me because I'd be like, I'm so sorry that DeMondre decided to go off the rails and
right.
Like, yeah, like I'm. I'd be like, yeah, he's
go off the rails.
Yeah, I'll just be like, he sucks.
Like, boo, and that's, hiss, down with the Madre.
Yeah, like, they gonna be looking at me like, girl, aren't you his boss? I'm gonna be like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I just feel like it's just not enough. It's not enough money. It's not enough. And you got to deal with them kids.
Yeah, I can't. Who are never happy with anything.
And then this person done cheated on this. And the board said this. Like, oh, no. 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 No.
I need to have my own situation.
Nothing. Imagine, like, you want to ruin my day. And then, are you the one as a dean? Are you the one pulling? I even think about that thing I went through. That one thing. You remember you know what I'm talking about with that dude and that project I'm working on?
Oh, yeah.
Jamal. I didn't talk to him directly, but it's like, you don't know what's going to be across your desk. And you just got to, you're not going to ruin my day. You're not going to ruin my day. You just come in. You might have had a nice little breakfast, because I would take breakfast very seriously. I would have had a nice breakfast burrito. I'd have had a smoothie in hand. I'm vibing, the sun's shining. We are literally probably at this point, it's May 2nd. We are 2 to 3 weeks out from the end of semester. I'm planning my vacation in Venice with my man. And here this come across my desk. You've assaulted numerous women in the university. There go my summer. I got to look you in the face. You nasty. And fire you. I got to email parents.
The whole tenure situation. Now you got to deal with that, because what if he's not trying to go quietly? Now what?
Right. You just ate up the whole, it's supposed to be the end of the semester. You just ate up all my time. Because then you still got to do the work that you were supposed to be doing.
Oh, because you want it to be dusty and crusty.
But you dealing with this predator. All the follow with that, his 10-year stuff. You talking to the board. You got to talk to, there's going to be some parents, no matter what kind, I forgot what the thing is called. Don't matter what kind of thing parents sign. They calling in. Mm-hmm. Students writing in.
Yeah, you in a forum. You got to go to a forum. You got to meet with the student groups. You got to do all this type of stuff.
You
wanted to be and that's the thing, because a lot of people, like, I do understand, like, okay, there's a culture around, you know, that might make people feel like they could act like this, but then that's what I'm saying, because I'm just not humble enough for something like this. I'll be like, hey, he been nasty for 25 years. I only got here 10 years ago, so I don't know what to tell you.
And also, you got to meet with the faculty, because they're going to be whispering. And then, mind you, the Jacob School of Music is attached to a larger institution. You probably got to go down the street. You not ruining my day. I'm cussing you out.
Like,
and now I'm grabbing you by the neck.
Now we both unemployed.
Like, no, I would never be a dean. Are you crazy? The power of these raggedy individuals to ruin your day. I care very much about my day not being ruined. If you could not tell.
I was about to say, we know.
I really care about that. Like, I really do my best to be like, okay, I'm going to do this and it's going to go fine. Okay, I'm going to do this and it's going to go fine. Because I don't want my day being ruined. We get so few of them.
I'm going to start doing that. I need to start fragmenting my day. Because me, one thing go off my whole day, I could chalk that up to the game. And sometimes even the week.
I don't like doing that, because you get so few days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, life goes by faster the older you get. And when that teacher said it, when my teacher said that to me in undergrad, I was like, girl, you just being, no. April is always the longest month. April, there's no breaks. It goes top to finish. I blinked and it was April 25th. No, you're not ruining my day. There's so few of them. You're not finna ruin my day. And you, now we got to deal with your touchy-feely behind, and we got to do, no.
Mm-mm.
I'm cussing now, you out. Right. We firing you. Now I'm in a cooth meeting, because they're like, Katie, you can't talk to people like that. And I'm like, well, he shouldn't have been touching on people like that.
Right. Talk about what somebody can and can't do. He can't do that. And so if he wasn't doing that, then I wouldn't have to do what I did. And that, look, and then that's if nobody starts suing, because now what if he sue, and then she sue, and then...
And the next thing you know, you on the phone with Expedia talking about, I gotta move my dates for Venice because this man done touched on people. You would not know. Talk about, would I be a dean? Absolutely not. Oh my God, it's just pissed me off.
Because
realize how mad I was.
Because people really like, see, and this goes back to the culture, because people really have been empowered to feel like they can act like that.
That's the thing. I don't understand, what about you playing the euphonium? Like, that's so funny. Do people know what goes on in classical music? You play the euphonium. Is that a real instrument? No tea. No shade, no pink lemonade. How old is that instrument? A century at best?
I wonder.
I think it's pretty new.
Yeah. Dang.
That's embarrassing.
They just came up with that junk.
They just came up with it. Like, you think you have the power?
Saxophone is mad new.
It's mad new. Saxophone mad new.
Like
1900s, right?
Yeah. Like, they just came up with that.
They just made that. No, that would piss me off so bad. I would have been like, my first thing I would have said to him was, you play the euphonium. Okay. And that's one thing about a man, they're going to have audacity. Like, how dare you? Oh, my God. No.
It says, the British style compensating euphonium was developed in 1874.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what that is. Oh, it says modern day. It doesn't say the date on a modern day euphonium, though. We'll see.
He got all the time to research that, because he ain't gonna have no job. What is that? What does one do when you work at McDonald's after that?
This and also this just goes to show how Man, we really clown the euphonium now. I'm sorry, y'all. But this is just very unserious. A person who plays the euphonium is known as a euphoniumist, a euphonist, or a euphophonist. Like a euphophonist?
Euphopho? No, you made it up. That's Wikipedia.
A euphophonist is crazy. Yeah, see, where is the citation on this?
I thought if you play euphonium, you also play tuba. Is that not correct? No, or is it also trombone? What's the twofer? Or it's a trombone. Also, it's a euphonium. This is a classical music podcast. I'm not going to say anymore.
I was about to say.
I just realized where I was. I'm not saying nothing else. I'll look it up.
To be fair, you be an orchestra.
I'll look it up. To be fair. It's been a minute since I have had to take, what's it called, brass methods. Now, I did enjoy the euphonium because it was small enough and the mouthpiece was big enough. So I did enjoy my little week or two on the euphonium.
Because what, so I want to know, because what y'all really be doing? Like, I've had my fair share of band as both a bass player and as a wind player. So, like, people be, oh, y'all don't know nothing about band. No, sweet pea. There was a period of time where I was in band more than I was in orchestra.
That sounds terrible.
So.
Band, the sound is okay. It's growing on me. I had to do a practicum.
But like when y'all be high school on, band. Y'all be on euphonium, and like, oh, I guess y'all be in the army band and stuff like that. But like,
yeah, like, and I think they become teachers and stuff. I don't think you really can.
Yeah,
how many professional bands are there? There's not really many, are there?
Yeah, they don't really be hitting like that. I feel like
the way y'all be going up in band and y'all be doing this and band better than that, I thought there would be a professional band by now.
And you know
how come
what?
There isn't one?
And you know, that's what I'm about to say. You know, let's bring stuff like that back, because sometimes every now and then they might do like a little 1-2 with like configuring the orchestra. But like, I feel like more orchestras need to start doing some outside stuff with other like ensembles, because one thing that I really missed at Eastman was playing a string orchestra. I had string orchestra twice a week in high school, and I really miss like this string orchestra rep, just like there's band rep and like wind orchestra rep. And I just feel like, you know, they should do a little something like that. If they're not gonna be no professional bands, then maybe orchestras can do them every now and then.
Yeah, I think the only thing, like, I know like Memphis Symphony got a big band. But I've never been to their concert, so I don't know what that entails.
Like a symphonic band. Because I remember I played in wind orchestra at Eastman on bass. And there was some good. Oh, you know what? I need a piece of the week this week, huh? So here we go.
What's their week? They be playing Sousa and them?
You know, but there's some newer people. Like Scatterday, who does wind ensembles at Eastman, has like, he be playing some.
Oh, there's a wind band pieces. I forgot. Okay.
Yeah,
I forgot.
And wind
that.
Orchestra stuff, and like, yeah, and there's some newer stuff that's good.
I never really care for band music,
but I need to start listening to it, because there was some stuff I was like, oh, it's kind of hitting. I've never, you know, and I'm gonna put you on. I need to, and I actually need to put myself back on, because I never really listened to it outside of that. But I need to go down that rabbit hole, and I'm sure there's some wind players literally writhing in pain right now.
They skipped ahead a long time ago
to it, listening to us talk about this. So I'm sure they will have something to say.
So,
but anyway, that's the end of that.
This has been lengthy. We moving on?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's time for Black Excellence, where we hype you up, gas you up, and give you your props. There's room for everyone at the top. This week I'm talking about Miles Blakemore. He is the assistant professor of trombone at the University of Maryland School of Music, and prior to that he served as a trombonist in the U.S. Navy Band. He's held other notable positions such as trombonist in the U.S. Naval Academy Band, a fellowship with the New World Symphony, and the Rosemary David Good Fellowship with the Minnesota Orchestra, and second trombone with Symphony and C in New Jersey. As an orchestral musician, he's performed with Baltimore Symphony, Charleston Symphony, Dallas Symphony, Malaysia's Philharmonic, National Symphony, Richmond Symphony, Virginia Symphony, Washington National Opera, among others. He's also attended many premier festivals, including Aspen, Brevard, and the National Repertory Orchestra. As a soloist, He's been featured artist at the American Trombone Workshop and the International Trombone Festival. He can be heard on his debut album, Bach-ish, cute, with features worked. Sorry. Literacy's important. Features worked. That's not my fault. Inspired by Bach. Blakemore has also served the faculties of Howard,
HU,
Morgan State. He currently spends the summer teaching at the DC Trombone Workshop and the Brass Institute of the America and performing in Winter Green Music Festival. He's a Dallas native, graduate of Southern Methodist, and he has his master's from the Manhattan School of Music. So shout out to you, Miles, and your recent appointment. And yeah.
Period. My piece of the week is Rosa Parks Boulevard by Michael Dougherty, which is for 3 trombones and symphonic band.
What?
I played that when I was at Eastman. It was good. It was very good. That Eastman, okay. That solo trombone, they was eating. I'm about to see if they got an official recording on it, because I'm about to put it on my playlist.
Okay, girl.
Michael Dougherty be hitting. He be writing for band. I remember playing another piece by him when I was in Wind Orchestra there.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Classically Black Podcast. Don't forget to follow social media at Classically Black Podcast. Join the Ebony Tower. That's patreon.com/classicallyblackpodcast. What I be saying? If you have a piece of the week suggestion, a black ass suggestion, or an intermittent suggestion, send it to classicallyblackpodcast@gmail.com. Follow on social media at Classically Black Podcast. If you're black, join ISBM. That's Eyes Black Musicians. On social media, eyesblackmusicians.com. Thank you for listening, and we will catch y'all next week.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Allegedly.